धारे गोपी जन बलवा जय गिरिवर धारे जय गिरिवर धारे जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन 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 जमुना तीरावनाचारी जमुना तीरावनाचारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 Hare Hare. Jayam Vishnupada Paramahansa Privrajakacharya Stuttara Satoshi Shumad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swayam Haraj Shila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON Founder Acharya Shila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Nam Acharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Segaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivas Adigaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Shishi Radha Krishna Go Gopakabina Shamkunda Radha Kundigiri Govardhana Ki Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki, Shri Mayapur Dhamma Ki, Ganga Mai Ki, Chamura Mai Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Tulasi Devi Ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki, Jainitai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tretayam. Vartamanayam Kala Krita Samo Bhavat Rame Rajani Dharmagye Sarva Bhuta Sukha Vahe Tritayam Vartamanayam Kala Krita Samo Bhavat Samo Bhavat Rame Rajani Dharmagye Sarva Bhuta Sukhavahe Tretayam Vartamanayam Kala Krita Samo Bhavat Rame Rajani Dharmagye Sarva Bhuta Sukhavahe
Yeah.
Tretayam.
Tretayam.
In the Treta Yuga.
In the Treta
Yuga. Vartamanayam.
Vartamanayam.
Although situated. In that period.
In that period.
Kala.
Kala.
The period.
The period.
Krita.
Krita.
With Satya Yuga.
Sama.
Sama.
Equal.
Abhavata.
It became so.
Rame,
Rame,
because of Lord Ramachandra, being present.
Rajani,
as the ruling king.
Dharmage,
because he was fully religious.
Sarvabhuta,
of all living entities.
Sukha avahe,
giving full happiness. Translation. Lord Ramachandra became king during Treta Yuga, but because of his good government, the age was like Satya Yuga. Everyone was religious and completely happy. Purport. Among the four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali, the Kali Yuga is the worst. But if the process of Varnashram Dharma is introduced, even in this age of Kali, the situation of Satya Yuga can be invoked. The Hare Krishna movement, or Krishna consciousness movement, is meant for this purpose. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti hyeko mahan gunaha. Kirtanad eva krishnasya mukha sangha param vrajet. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is full of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Bhagavatam 12.3.51. If people take to this Samkirtan movement of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, they will certainly be free from the contamination of Kali Yuga, and the people of this age will be happy, as people were in Satya Yuga, the golden age. Anyone, anywhere, can easily take to this Hare Krishna movement. One need only chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, observe the rules and regulations, and stay free from the contamination of sinful life. Even if one is sinful and cannot give up sinful life immediately, if he chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra with devotion and faith, he will certainly be freed from all sinful activities, and his life will be successful. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. This is the blessing of Lord Ramachandra, who has appeared in this age of Kali as Lord Gaurasundara. The whole purpose of the material world, and specifically of humans, is to take up God consciousness. There is no other purpose, since that is the natural relationship of the living entities with the Lord. So those living entities that have a problem with the Lord, then they come to the material world. And here they get absorbed in what they think is not the Lord. Right? So the forms, the activities, the results that one can get in the material world, then the materialistic living entity does not see that in connection with Krishna. Though it is Krishna, everything being Krishna, you can't get away from that fact. But because of the external forms of these, one can think it's different. So then, Krishna is very kind that he gives the material world so that people can eventually come back to seeing everything connected to him. And so that means then the natural sense we're looking at everything from the external point of view, then the natural thing is that that external point of view is then engaged in the Lord's service. Right? So, of course, the direct activities of engaging the external is always the ideal, that one's always chanting, one's always associating with devotees, worshiping the deities, you know, talking, hearing, and chanting about Krishna. These direct activities that are, you know, seemingly external, then that's always the best. But the difficulty comes is that the living entity, from being in the material world, being conditioned, then they have a tendency to be very comfortable with the secondary activities of Krishna's creation and not in connection with Krishna. So then the rules and regulations of the Vedic system then allow one to engage in those secondary forms, but in a way that you remember that there's a connection to Krishna. So one gets purified. Right? That's the whole idea. If you're following the rules, even if you don't understand, they still have an effect. Right? They'll always be elevating. They'll always be purifying. But then when you connect them to Krishna, then it actually takes on actual purification, where you become God-conscious. So the idea is to be God-conscious. So to that degree, we're not God-conscious. To that degree, we need to engage the external forms in the Lord's service. So Lord Ramachandra, then he himself came. He ran his governance. And in that governance, we see is all the different rules that are given in the scripture. That's what he's following. So this brings out two things. One is he's setting an example of how others can become benefited. And we see there's a good benefit. Everybody is happy, completely happy. You cannot say that about any other kind of governance in the world. It cannot be said. There's no example. There's no time in. You can't say, okay, this time, there's so many civilizations in the world, right? There's been since, you know, our recorded history. And in that, you know, whatever it is, the 25, 30 different civilizations, one thing that will never come up is everybody was happy. It won't come up. You'll come up and say, well, the Romans, you know, they had a nice army, and the Assyrians did this, and the Babylonians that, and the Chinese this, and, you know, they built a wall. You know, so many things happened. But you'll never hear them say everyone was satisfied, everyone was happy. It's just not there. We don't even have recorded history that one person was happy. Right? It's just not there. So that's the point, is that Ramachandra is showing by following this seemingly external form, engaging, then you can become happy. Right? But we're not interested to become happy just on the material platform, but on the spiritual platform. That's our nature. So that's why then it's in connection with the Lord. So the Lord's following it. So his following is in connection with the Lord. Right? Lord Ramachandra follows Varnashram. It's in connection with the Lord because he's the Lord. Right? So then the other aspect is, this is how Lord Ramachandra likes to perform his pastimes. Being situated in pure goodness, he likes the Varnashram system. But not because of the externals, but because of the opportunity that's there for interaction. Basically speaking, Varnashram defines relationships. That's what it's doing. And how everybody in every position, how they can have a relationship with anybody else in the system. Again, no modern social form has that opportunity. Does that make sense? It just doesn't. Okay, how does the rich man and how does the geek, how do they interact by the modern standards? Right? They don't. Unless, of course, the rich guy hires the geek. Then he just does what he says. That's as good as the relationship gets. So you think about it. There is no system for everybody to have a position to know how to interact. So it's all about relationships. If the ultimate goal is about relationship with the Lord, and the Lord has expanded his creation to interact based on relationships, right? Why wouldn't everything that's expanding from Krishna have the same principle? Right? This philosophically means is that you see the cause and the effect. So in the material world, you can see the element of relationship because it's coming from Krishna. So you can either cultivate the externals, the form, the knowledge and skills, and be happy with that only, and not be happy, but, you know, you'll say you're happy. Or you can try to cultivate relationship with the purpose of connecting back to the Supreme Lord. That's what Krishna does. So as Lord Ramachandra, he's doing that. As Krishna, as Lord, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's being done. And so Srila Prabhupada's bringing that point out. The Sankirtan mission means it's focused on the primary of Krishna, but it's a secondary, then you're using this Varnashram system. It's very obvious here. And this is ninth canto. So this isn't just, oh, some preliminaries there for the neophytes. This is just what form is used. The neophytes use it because without it, they don't have a social structure because they are attached to the external energy. The Madhyamas can function. It's not that they need it as such to engage their senses, but it just makes for a nice form as devotees. And the Uttamas is just a basis of a relationship between the devotees and the Lord. So the neophyte needs it because of his attachment. That's why the term is there, Prakriti. They're attached to Prakriti. So that attachment means then they're going to deal with the external energy. So now how is it going to deal? According to their whims, according to passion and ignorance, or according to goodness. Varnashram means goodness. Right? So now, using that in the Lord's service, now it comes to pure goodness. But as Prabhupada said, even if you can't do that, you take your position that you're in, and with that devotion and faith, you know that that chanting of Hare Krishna is the best. So even if one is in passion and ignorance, still that faith in Krishna, faith in the holy name, will elevate you. But it's important to appreciate that our position in passion and ignorance is not ideal. Because otherwise, pride comes up. And as soon as pride comes up, you can forget about faith and devotion. They don't go together. If there's pride, faith and devotion go out the window. Right? You can say, well, maybe some cases, but let's take the case of the gopis with Krishna at the rasa dance. The most qualified devotees in the cosmos, not planet, not universe, not mahatattva, but the cosmos, including Vaikuntha, Goloka, everything. And everything's going great till they become proud. As soon as they become proud, Krishna leaves. So that should be understood. If it applies to them, it applies to us. So as soon as pride's there, then the whole thing is ruined. Of course, if you just keep chanting and keep associating, eventually we'll get purified and it'll go away. It's just a matter of how long do you want the process to be dragged out for. Right, we're given one lifetime. You can do it in one lifetime. And that's not only special people. That means anybody can do it. But the point is anybody means it's common. Common means it's ordinary. Ordinary means it's nothing to be proud about. So in other words, things that improve pride, they're the enemy of devotional service. Right? Therefore I say, labh puja pratishta, you know, the distinction, adoration, and profit. That's why then the person who can't follow Varnashram, because of his material attachments, he's humble. And because of that, he advances. That's why we don't say, yes, yes, you do whatever you want and it's perfectly fine. It's exactly equal to following all these rules and regulations. These rules and regulations are for Indians anyway, since we're on the bodily platform. Then, you know, we're Westerners, they're Indians, you know, it's all on the bodily platform. So we're not this body, so it doesn't matter. That maintains pride. You won't advance. Simple. You advance because you say, I'm the soul, I'm servant of Krishna. But because of my material attachments, I've gotten myself entangled in all these kind of material desires. And unfortunately, they're all in passion and ignorance and completely below human standard. But the grace of Krishna and grace of the spiritual master, they're so kind that they allow us, even in this position, right? Like Shivananda's dog, he allows us to even still take part in devotional service. How fortunate we are, how great they are, how special that is. Maintaining that humble attitude, one will advance very nicely. But if one takes on the material position of relativity, you know, of the philosophy of the Ionians, you know, the Greeks back 2,500 years ago, that they considered, hey, it's all relative, it's whatever we say, we establish, we say what's right, what's wrong. You know, we are the horizontal, we are the vertical, right? Heard that one, no? So that kind of thing, that will keep you in the material world. Guaranteed. You know? Money back. But probably you won't get much money. But you will stay. So when it's a matter of, I'm not the body, therefore give up that attachment, though all will function according to the nature of the body. That's yukta vairagya. Just whatever I'm attached to, just using because I want to use it, that's not yukta vairagya. Right? Because yukta means it's connected to Krishna. Vairagya means you're not attached. Just as an interesting definition of the Sanskrit words. Right? So that's the whole idea here, is that Ramachandra, because of him following this nicely, he was perfectly religious. He accepts the scripture. He follows the scripture. Not because it's the external rules and the benefits you'll get, because it's pleasing to the Lord. So Ramachandra is following Varnashram because it pleases the Lord. Who's the Lord? Himself. Right? So he's pleased by this. He's pleased by this social interaction. He offers obeisances to those who are senior. He's friends with equals. He's kind to juniors. You see, the whole pastime as he comes in, it's all based on, he likes that. So Ramachandra is following Varnashram to please the Lord. And because of that, the citizens follow, everybody's happy. Right? We're not saying, is everybody happy? No, we're saying they are happy. Does that make sense? So, it's a very, very wonderful aspect that the Lord comes to the material world and he performs his pastimes as he in the spiritual world. It's not that they're different. It's not that, you know, here you get some lesser pastime. He just comes and performs his eternal pastimes here with his eternal associates, giving us the opportunity to take that up. Because inherently, the living entity is supposed to be an eternal associate of the Lord. Right? So most have taken up that position, and some of us who are here haven't. So the opportunity is given. And so, that the Lord is so kind, so merciful, then that's very special. He comes, performs his pastimes, we can see, we can take part, we can take example. Then we hear about this from the acharyas. So they explain how this applies in our life. And then we try to apply it the best we can in this humble attitude with this devotion and faith. Then from that, then we'll be elevated. I mean, the monkeys are taking part in Ramachandra's pastimes. Why can't we? Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that if we have that, it will work. But one has to have that faith, one has to have that devotion. Right? Other things are just not very useful. Okay. Any questions or comments or yes? Yes.
Ocean. Just like we may become proud.
Yes, but the point is Krishna went.
Right.
So isn't that the important point?
I mean, it's important. It's not that they stop loving Krishna, right? They still love.
But if Krishna's not there and not interested, then what's the point? Yeah, but how did they get him back? What happened? Right. So why not learn from that before? In other words, what are they proud of? Let's look at that. What are they proud of?
Being with Krishna.
Their position. Because being with Krishna in the physical locale is a position. It's not necessarily a relationship. It's a position. And so it's external. It's secondary. And so secondary is how you're going to express your devotion, but they're not expressing devotion. They're expressing their pride. So we see as Radharani can express her pride in devotion, right? So many pastimes are there where Radharani's upset with Krishna and showing that youthful arrogance. But it's directed at Krishna. Here, it's not directed at Krishna. It becomes directed at themselves, that I am so fortunate. You understand? It's subtle. So what's happened is the primary aspect has become disconnected. They're young girls. They're going to have that arrogance. But at this point, it's pointed out because now that secondary aspect of their youthful pride being engaged in Krishna's service is now at this point not engaged in Krishna's service. So we don't call it devotion. We call it pride.
They're young girls, but they're great. They're great sages who have been, right, awarded this experience.
Yes, yes, yes. But what I'm meaning is that they're looking at their position, but not in connection with the Lord. So therefore, what's in the relationship for Krishna? So he goes. And as soon as now they see, no, Krishna is the central point in the relationship. Because you have to remember, which gopis are having the problem? Right? It's not the eternal associates. It's those gopis who are coming up into the pastimes to develop that prema for Krishna, that attraction for Krishna. So they have enough, their focus on Krishna is enough. In other words, in the Samarana Dasa aspect of Bhava, where they're remembering the Lord, it's about Krishna. It's focused on Krishna, they're in the Samadhi, so in the fifth level of the absorption. So it's enough to get them into the pastimes, bring them to Apan Das, the fourth stage. So then they can take part, that'll attain Surup Siddhi, where they'll actually perfect their Surup. Right? Because before that, they have their Surup, but it's not perfected because they're not with Krishna. So now coming to that position of Surup Siddhi, but the problem is it at that point, it's not about developing the love for Krishna. So then Krishna's not interested. It's not progressive. So it is advanced. But you have to understand is, if it's not prema, it's not prema. Right? It's preliminary. Sadhana bhakti will get you to bhava, but bhava will get you to prema. But if you're not progressing towards prema, what's the point? So that's what's happening here, is those ones that are sadhakas or siddhas like this, that they are coming from the demigods, they're coming from the sages at Naimisharanya, they're coming from other groups, all these different groups that are coming up that are mentioned, they get that opportunity to come take part in the pastimes. And you saw even other devotees who were more attached to the external than these ones, they got stopped at home. They didn't even get out to the rasa dance, right? Because they were absorbed in their families and cow dung patties on the walls and taking care of the kids and, all that kind of stuff. So the secondary aspect was more prominent, so they didn't go. Though they became purified, so next time they were qualified to go.
I thought they went in their spiritual bodies.
That's the ones that came to that platform. So you see, some did, some and some didn't. But they're always going in their spiritual bodies, of course. So the point being is that the Nitya Siddhas, they're off with Radharani and Krishna. Her eternal associates, so Lalita, Vishakha, and all them, they're off there. Or making arrangements for the rasa dance and other things. But those who are bhav sadhakas, they're the ones that were stopped. Krishna left. So we have to see is that when we're talking about Krishna is 100% conscious of everything at all time. And so that means he's conscious of, himself and the creation at all time. It's all him. So if we're at any time conscious but not conscious of him, that's not good enough. How will you have community with Krishna if you're not conscious when he is? Right? Just like in a relationship, you have somebody who's conscious, someone who's not. It's a disturbance. Right? So when they're on the same level of focus and consciousness as you, then you have very strong relationship, strong interaction. But as soon as one party is not conscious, not of the relationship, then breaks down. This is what we're talking about. We're not talking about the aspects of sadhana where, okay, I have material attachment, but I'm engaging in Krishna's service. I'm not always remembering Krishna, but ultimately it's for Krishna, and so that's perfect. We're not talking about that. Because we have to remember there's perfect, more perfect, most perfect. So if we don't know what most perfect is, we'll just be satisfied with perfect, and that's all the better it'll get. So it's because we know about most perfect, and we're functioning at perfect with humility and that faith and devotion, we're moving forward towards most perfect. So that's why then these technical points are given. One is to engage us, and two, so that we actually know what the standard is. So we're hearing what is our level, and we're also hearing what's levels above us, so we know where we're going. Does that make sense? So these subtleties, these are what's being brought out. There's the defect we're talking about is on the platform of developing prema. But as far as their sadhana and ours, there's no comparison. They're way ahead of us. But it's still, until it comes to prema, it's not the best. That's the goal. Because otherwise, if we put these lesser goals in front of us and that's it, we may not in this lifetime get past them. And then we'll have to take it up in future life. That's why I mentioned we have to be very careful about just saying, oh, you know, we're conditioned or we're Westerners or we're from here, we're from there, so it doesn't really matter. Externally, yes, it doesn't matter what you're engaging, but the problem is that external consciousness mood affects our internal. And so we think it's good enough for Krishna when it's not. Point is that you start anywhere. It's just like the little baby. It's just standing up, walking a few steps, and then falling over. For the adults, that's ecstasy. Right? It's great. But now if the baby is proud that, wow, I'm an Olympic runner and this and that, then there's a problem. You understand? In that they're not. If they sincerely think, I am this, they're not up to that standard. So we're not talking about the childhood, how they, in their mind, oh, I'm this, I'm that, they're imagining. I'm talking about sincerely. So you have somebody who's there for the Olympic lineup and all that, and they can't go more than three steps without falling over on their bum. How far are they going to get in this? But they're very proud that, no, I'm good. They're not going to make it. So just as in the material world, someone who's proud of themselves when they don't actually aren't up to the standard, no one likes that. Especially the more professional you are, the less tolerance there is of this. Right? So therefore, it's the same principle. Where does that come from? It comes from Krishna. But for Krishna, it's not about the external. Right? In the material world, it's about he's supposed to be professional. He's not so technically good at his knowledge and skills. Right? His knowledge and skills does not match his ego. Right? Someone doesn't have match knowledge and skills, they have potential, but they don't have ego, you can train them. But if they have ego, that's it. That's as good as they can get. So on the professional world, they're not interested in people like that. They're so many are there. But so when that comes because with Krishna, it's about the relationship. Right? In the material world, it's not about the relationship. As long as the knowledge and skill is applied that it makes profit, it's good enough. But the Vedic standard is, no, it's about relationships. Even if we're talking about the material, it's relationships. Right? Because you see here, it says that they're completely happy. So they're happy in Krishna consciousness, but also on the material platform they're happy. This is what makes community work. This is what makes relationships work. The primary is about Krishna and the secondary is Varnashram. It works. We have example. We have here, we see in Dwarka. Right? Krishna is also explaining in 11th canto that there's a problem if he just disappears just like that and his associates just disappear. Is that people, when he's present, then it's like Satyayuga. That means all the four legs of religion are perfectly intact. Everyone's following. Everything's perfect. Now, if he just disappears, then people in that separation will be so absorbed in him, they'll all stay on that same transcendental platform. And then you have a problem. Kali Raj can't do his duty. And in Kali Yuga, people want to be in Maya. And they're not going to like it. You know, it's like being in a party mood and you're at a kirtan. You know, what are you going to do? Right? So Krishna being kind to the materialist, then he allows for the Kali Yuga. So therefore, he disappears in that fashion with the Yadus fighting with each other and all this and that. He gets shot with an arrow. And so that the materialist can think, ah, see, it's material. And then because of thinking like this, they'll commit offense. And because of committing offense, that will destroy three legs of Dharma. And so now Kali can perform his job. So when you see things connected to Krishna, then you don't have the Maya. You have proper relationships. So that's what's being given here. The main point is the Krishna conscious aspect. But it also gives the secondary, is that the external form is you want relationships between people, individuals, families, communities, all this. You have to use this system. This is the system. It's God's laws. It's his system. It's his material energy. So by following that, we will get those results. But just being happy on the material platform, because of following Varnashram, isn't the point of human life. You know, it's the platform of the soul, the relationship of the soul with Krishna. So Varnashram's not enough. It has to be Varnashram in connection with Krishna. Therefore, Daiva Varnashram. Right? But not accepting this as a form, that's not the discussion. Right? Devotees, why devotees wouldn't want to follow Krishna's rules? You can say, oh, but it's Kali Yuga. It's Krishna's Kali Yuga. It's not our Kali Yuga. And so therefore, the modes of nature are Krishna's. The false ego based on the modes of nature is Krishna. Right? So doing things out of duty is false ego in the mode of goodness. Doing things because of the senses, that's the mode of passion. And just doing everything wrong, that's the mode of ignorance. These false egos. So we're engaging our ego in, I'm servant of Krishna. So therefore, the external form is that of goodness. Right? But the internal form is pure goodness. So you wouldn't use external form of passion, internal form of pure goodness, or external form of ignorance, and internal form of pure goodness. That doesn't match. You know what I'm saying? You have to make it match. You know, how you say, you wouldn't wear, let's say, some Louboutin shoes with Swarovski crystals with a frock. You just don't do that. They have to match. Right? So that's the whole point, is that you have to see that they match. So as they don't, you'll always have problems. Externally, if you don't use mode of goodness, you will have problems. So as you use mode of goodness, the problems reduce. It means you always have some problem because it is the material world. And the externals can't satisfy the soul. So it's only when the externals are connected to Krishna, and the ones, and since he's in pure goodness, those things, the activities in goodness, that's what connects. And then what's not connected, yeah, you do the best you can. So that's why Prabhupada says, even someone sinful, he's doing the best they can, but he's connecting the chanting to Krishna. But he's not trying to say that the external, which is substandard, is good. That's the difference. So we have to understand is that a weakness in devotional service is a weakness. But the point is connecting to Krishna, that's where the strength is. That's why you see, like you're saying, these gopis, they did attain to that position because it is about Krishna. So as soon as Krishna goes away, what do? They switch from that external view to that internal view. From the secondary to the primary. And because of that, and being absorbed, then Krishna comes back. Right? But if they had made up a philosophy, no, we're okay, we, you know, this is great, what's Krishna's problem? This is fanatic. Then Krishna's not coming back. Does that make sense? So we're just distinguishing that so that we understand that when we're dealing with the spiritual and the externals that we're using in spiritual, there's a science to connecting those. It's a natural science. So it's not whimsical. What we do, not following the Vedas, that's whimsical. But the Vedas, those aren't whimsical. That's coming from the Lord. It's the Lord's breathing. So the Shastra is.
But the essence of that it's about pleasing Krishna, that's the secret. That's the hidden form that unless you come in contact with the devotees, you won't know. You'll just think it's, okay, I'm switching non-Vedic externals for Vedic externals. But that's for that's the materialistic viewpoint. But it's that, no, we're following the externals given in the Veda because those are the ones that are favorable for having the proper attitude in serving Krishna. Yes?
But also, haven't we been given a certain, let's say, dispensation with Srila Prabhupada's mercy, in the sense that Prabhupada said, if we chant 16 rounds, follow the four regular principles, that we'll go back to God in this lifetime.
Yes.
It's, you know, and just also like someone who follows, you know, all the Vedic, all the purports of the Vedas are automatically revealed. Because sometimes it can seem very complicated.
Yes, but we're not talking about that. Because here when you're saying it's complicated, you're taking a position that it's complicated means it's more than I can handle. Right? In other words, it's a humble position. So that's okay. So what Prabhupada has given us, if we look, you'll see that lifestyle is actually explained in 11th canto. It's actually the Paramahamsa lifestyle. Because the Paramahamsa lifestyle means it's the lifestyle given in the Treta Yuga. In Treta Yuga, then you have Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, and Brahman. You don't need Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Because everybody being engaged in the Lord's service, then they're naturally going to cooperate. You don't need big organization to hold everything together. And they're living simple lifestyles. So Prabhupada's given us that lifestyle. Because you see, we'll say Prabhupada didn't establish Varnashram, but that means all eight aspects of Varnashram. But you see this Brahminical Varnashram, or Paramahamsa Varnashram. That Prabhupada established. He had Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas before he left, and he had Brahminical activities. The preaching, the deity worship, the cooking, all these different things, the teaching. So he had those. He just hadn't extended it beyond that. So we do have that. So we're saying it's complete. And you can say it's a dispensation. Yes, we're given the highest even though we're the lowest. That's fair. But the point is if we become proud and say, oh, it's complicated, therefore we don't need it, we're Westerners, it doesn't apply to us, that's pride. Then that will stop you in your tracks. Socially you won't develop, economically you won't develop, in relationships you won't develop, nothing will develop. Only pride will develop. So one has to be able to see that if we keep it simple, it works perfect as Prabhupada gave us. But if we're going to complicate things in the modern sense, like we need knowledge and skills and degrees and all these different things and be professional, then you have to balance that with the development of sophistication within the Vedic. And if you don't, you're just working with passion and ignorance. How that's going to forward Krishna consciousness. You understand? Means when you say, Prabhupada gave it to us simple, keep it simple. But we see that many don't. They try to complicate it on the external side. And then say it's as good, if not better. In fact, we've come up with a more important, more practical form than Prabhupada and the Acharyas came up. Is that not pride, or is that not pride? Or maybe pride. You know, your pick. You understand? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's what we're trying to say is that you can keep it that simple and it's not a problem. You chant, you follow the regulative principles, and you try to connect yourself to Krishna, and those generally means the direct activities, because that was the prominent activities, and that's your consciousness. It may be you're going to work, making money, but that's not where your consciousness is. So the consciousness is on those five direct activities that Lord Chaitanya gave. So therefore, if your consciousness is there, even though you're not doing it, you're thinking about visiting the temple or that kirtan or the association of devotees, then that's where you are. You will advance because you're on that topmost platform of lifestyle. Right? But if we start focusing on our work and our money and our family and all these different things, with pride and thinking, oh, it's, you know, oh, we should do this, and then sometimes you hear the comment, oh, but I'm being practical. Right there, that's the material. That's the external. Practical means what connects you to Krishna. You have to pay the bills, of course. Otherwise, how do you maintain yourself? But when you make the external, the secondary, as prominent or more prominent than the primary, the point's been missed. And this will be missed by all karmis, all jnanis. So even a great scholar will miss this point. So it has nothing to do with intelligence. Right? It's all to do with an appreciation of what's actually substance. That's Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So this dispensation is there, but you see, did Prabhupada give us that we offer obeisances to the devotees? Right? It means if you think back, okay, when we get up in the morning, we take our bath, then everybody in the temple we go and offer our obeisances to. Right? So Prabhupada gave that humility. Everything was cleaned. Before breakfast in the morning, the whole temple was cleaned. Not by devotees that just did cleaning. Everybody cleaned. Right? How much stuff did everybody have? As minimal as possible. And it was clean. Right? It was kept in. So everything was very nice and all that. All the temples smelled like spiritual sky incense. Right? And ghee. Why? Because it was so clean you could smell it. Right? As soon as there's other things in the air, that mustiness will, you won't be able to smell the subtleties. Right? Karmis would come to the temple, they'd comment how clean the place is. They can't believe it. Right? So that's what Prabhupada gave us. But if we don't follow that and we substitute with something else and claim, oh, but we can't do that, but we were doing that. And that was back when people are more fallen. In those days, being a vegetarian was weird. Now being a vegetarian's just par for the course. Right? Does that make sense? It's just normal. So, it's much easier now. People are less degraded. Right? In the way of these things, of accepting these things. Like, you can walk down the street now, let's say in New York, dressed in a dhoti, no one will even look at you. Because you're not the weirdest person out there. You know? While back in the 70s, 60s, you walk down the street like that, you're weird. You know what I'm saying? So people are they're more easily accepting the externals of Krishna consciousness than they were 50 years ago. But we're trying to make it out as if, no one will accept these things, we can't do these things, we have to hide away, blend in, just disappear, and that's good. And what's that got to do? Where's the faith? Where's the devotion? That's called, you feel uncomfortable socially, so then fine, but don't make a philosophy out of it. Don't try to say that this is the way it has to be done. It doesn't have to be done that way. Intelligent people, cultured people, they accept the variation in culture. They expect it. You know, you're going to talk to someone who's committed to a particular philosophy or culture that you expect them to dress and behave in that way. It bothers you that they don't. That's why you like them. So this idea is that, people will be disturbed if we do things different than them, but guaranteed you'll do something different than them. If you're not wearing the exact same pants and this and that as them, you're doing something different. And anyway, they don't want you to wear the same pants as them, because otherwise, then what's their uniqueness? You know what I'm saying? So it makes zero sense, that approach. That's what we're talking about. So we're only emphasizing that because it's being emphasized. If we're emphasizing that, keep it simple, then keep it simple all across the board. Right? Does that make sense? Then it works. That's the point. And then you make it sophisticated in a balanced way. That's why the Veda is there. It gives down to the finest sophistication if you want to get materially sophisticated. So why not use that? It's the mode of goodness. You know it'll work. It'll still be good. Well, the other one, you get sophisticated, and then after 6 months, a couple of years, it's out of fashion. And then now you've spent all that time developing that, and then it's out the window. Why not develop something that's eternal? Is that... Yeah. So that's the idea. Is that okay? Yeah, okay. Thank you. Something else, or... No? Okay. Sorry. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Srila Prabhupada ki? Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki? Jainatai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bhagavatam ki?